Hello, friends. This is Cliff Knight from Equippers International. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We want to lift up Jesus and provide a place for you to learn more about Him and to grow in your relationship with Him. If you find the podcast helpful, feel free to share it with others. We believe it will be a source of blessing and encouragement, and you will be strengthened in your relationship with Jesus. Hello, welcome back to the podcast, and we're in Romans chapter 10, and we're just cruising along there. We're going to pick up in verse 16. We just finished looking at these verses where Paul describes this beautiful process of preaching, telling people about the good news of Jesus so that they can come into a belief, they can come into a confession, and that is a beautiful process. And then in verse 16, he says, however, now he's going to go back to his discussion of Israel. Remember, Paul's on a mission. He has a goal in these three chapters. He's making a statement about Israel, about his countrymen, his fellow Israelites that remain, that can trace their lineage back to ancient Israel through those two remaining tribes, Judah and Benjamin. And he says of them, however, they did not all heed the good news. He's saying that now, in the first century, after the proclamation of the gospel, they all did not listen. They all did not heed the good news. They heard it, but they didn't heed it. Why? Because Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. Literally, the word concerning Christ. He's saying that when people hear the message concerning the work of Christ, that message can produce faith. It can activate faith in the life of unbelievers. This is why it's so important for us to be speaking about Christ. Because the more we talk about Jesus, the more it opens up people's minds, the more it opens up their hearts to believing. Because they cannot have faith unless they first hear the word concerning Christ. And that's why our report has to be continually going out. And that's why it's the job of every believer to talk about Jesus. Verse 18, but I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Yes, indeed they have. So Paul now is submitting another question. Verse 18, for he's saying, well, maybe they've never heard, but he says, no, actually they have. And then he quotes extensively again from the Old Testament prophets. First, he says, their voice has gone out into all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. Now, wow, well, that's a pretty extensive thing to say, that the proclamation of Christ has gone out into all the world. Now, this is a perspective that we have to understand. Again, we don't want to make application of things that would be what I would call anachronistic. So for us to say we're going to go all over the world, well, that's quite a big statement for us to get on an airplane and go everywhere in the world. We actually wouldn't even be able to do that in our lifetime. But for the biblical writers, from Paul's perspective, that's exactly what's taken place. He's saying that the message of Christ has gone out into all the known world. Into his world, it has gone out. And it has actually gone to the ends of the earth. That it has gone as far as it has possibly been able to go in the first century. This is what Paul's saying, because it's in that realm, in that geographical realm, the inhabited earth at that time. Now, we know that there were people living outside of that realm in other places of the world. Nobody historically is going to refute that, but this is the way that the biblical writers use language. They're not scared to say that his report has gone out into all the world when, in fact, it hasn't gone out to every single person. This is another reason why I believe that we can take specific ideas about what is said in the New Testament, and we can extrapolate them into doctrines and into theologies. Now, specifically, I'm talking about the idea that when Jesus said, the gospel will be preached to the ends of the earth and the end will come. Well, we interpret that as saying that once the last person on earth has heard the gospel, then God is counting all those people. We can't keep track of them, but God sees, and there's going to be this magical moment when the last person hears, and then the end is going to come. Well, I believe that's a faulty interpretation of Scripture. Now, I know that I'm opening up Pandora's box here, and I'm not trying to be controversial, but just think about it on a practical level. The moment we would proclaim to the last, quote, person on earth, well, meanwhile, how many millions of people have been born, and we got to now wait for them to grow up so they can hear? On and on the argument goes. It's a circular process. It's not what the Scripture was saying. So we have to redefine terms. We don't have time to go into all that in this episode, but just let it suffice to say that what Paul's saying is that the word, the gospel, has gone out and been preached sufficiently. And he says in verse 19, but I say, surely Israel did not know, did they? Now remember, Paul's whole point of his discussion in these three chapters is because he's getting to the bottom of the destiny of Israel, those that remain from the ancestral heritage of the nation of Israel, because God had made significant promises to the nation of Israel. And I said earlier in other episodes that there are all types of approaches and doctrines and ideas that are out there surrounding Israel. And I'm going to give some opinion about my understanding of that. It may not be right. I've always gone on record as saying I don't see everything perfectly, but as a teacher, I do choose to take a line before the grace of God. He'll be my judge and he'll help me along. Maybe I'll think differently about it 5 years from now. I probably thought differently about it 5 years ago, but nonetheless, I do have some opinions. But remember, Paul's whole point of his discussion is Israel. He's not just talking about the proclamation of the gospel for the sake of the proclamation. He's saying it in regards to Israel. And that's why in verse 19, he says, surely Israel did not know, did they? And then he goes to Moses and he says, first, Moses says, I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. There's the Gentiles again. Now, Paul's going to start nudging us in a new direction about how God is going to use the Gentile nations to awaken Israel to the truth of their Messiah. Now, remember, Paul's reaching back in history long before what happened in the first century, but he's using these scriptures to illustrate what's going on now. Okay, now meaning 57 AD, the time period where the gospel infiltrated the earth. So he's saying, I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. By a nation without understanding, I will anger you. And then he quotes Isaiah and he says, Isaiah is very bold. And he says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. Wow. This is a powerful explanation of what happened when the Gentiles received the gospel. They were the most unlikely people. They were outside the promises of God. They didn't have anything. Paul talks about it in Ephesians chapter 2 concerning these Gentile nations. He says, remember, you were at the time separated from Christ. You were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers to the covenants of promise. You had no hope, and you were without God in the world. But Jesus Christ has brought you near by his blood. So he's saying these nations that were so far removed from any knowledge of God, they came close by the blood of Jesus. They were drawn into this relationship with God. And this is exactly what Paul's saying here in Romans 10, verse 20. He says, Isaiah was very bold when he said that God was found by those who did not seek me. How did he find them? He revealed himself to Cornelius, who was a devout man. He was a good man, but he was not a man that was connected to the promises of God. He appears to this man in a vision and he says, hey, go get that guy, Peter. And at the same time, God's talking to Peter about the Gentiles and convincing him that they're worthy of hearing the good news. And God actually brings the gospel to the Gentiles. They didn't seek for it. It was God's sovereign mercy on them. Why? Because it was his intention and his purpose from the very beginning. He told Abraham, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing to who? All the nations, the Gentiles. And all throughout the history of Israel as a nation, his intention was to make them to be a blessing to the nations, because God had all of humanity in mind, not just the children of Israel. And that's where they stumbled. They became prideful. They became self-centered. This is not a campaign on my part to throw Israel under the bus. This is a very obvious thing that we see throughout the scriptures. They did not fulfill their mandate of God to go and be a blessing to the nations. They wanted to keep it for themselves. They became selfish. They became prideful. They ultimately became rebellious. And he says there in verse 21, but as for Israel, he says, all the day long I have stretched out my hand to a disobedient and obstinate people. It's a sad, sad, sad narrative, but it's true. It's one that we have to understand if we're going to make sense of God's dealing with this nation through history. They were rebellious. They were obstinate. And God said, I stretch my hand out to you over and over. And they continue to be obstinate, not just back then, thousands of years before, but right now, Paul's now at the writing of this book, the Israelites that remained of the nation of Israel, those that could remotely trace their heritage to their ancestral lineage, not just in a general cultural sense, but those like Paul that could say, I am of the tribe of Benjamin. And there were other fellow countrymen that he knew as well that had that direct descendancy. They were obstinate. These were the people that I believe Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I've longed to gather you, but you would not let it be so. See, they were walking in disobedience. They were not bringing themselves into the obedience of faith. They were choosing a different direction, and God recognized it. In the meantime, God is graciously and mercifully allowing the Gentiles to come in. This is the historical picture that Paul's drawing here. It's so important and so real to see what was happening in these first 20, 30 years of the gospel infiltrating the earth. It happened in these contexts for a reason, and it's important that we understand it this way. So be strong and courageous and love Jesus more.